Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I did too. I had to take a gigantic nap. I mean, you know what hour we were talking first thing in the morning. So I never went to bed, dude. I stayed up, had some things to do, and found out that a buddy of mine that I was in the Navy with. I mean, this was 12 years ago, I guess, or 11 years ago or something. 12 now, jeez. Met a friend of mine. Didn't know we'd be friends, but he, you know, we were E-nothings in the Navy. We were brand new on the USS Nassau, and this dude is he's an ABH first class. He's air warfare. He's surface warfare. He's got a chest full of candy, and he just re-enlisted for another 6 years, and so he's going after E-7. He's going after Chief. So, Lawan Lindo, man, I just gave him a big shout out on Facebook, and I haven't talked to him in a long time, man. You know, I was honestly surprised to see him in that kind of position, you know, because you never can tell back then. Nobody knows what they want to do in life, and so I was glad to see him come out like that. Speaking of chest full of candy and things like that, is that new ring? Is that weighing you down? Can you swim with that thing on?
Well, I haven't got it yet. They just took my, they got my measurements. So the ring should be en route any day now.
Wow.
The ring I had in the picture, that was a sample of what the ring will look like.
But for sure.
That dog was huge.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So, we have a brand new Hall of Famer, Greg Squirrel, United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame. It's done. It's sealed. We've been talking about this for weeks, and now it's in the books.
It is in the books. I got the plaque. You saw the picture of the plaque they presented me with.
It's very, very pretty.
Yes, it's sitting right here in front of me, and I got to wipe the drool off of it because I fell asleep on it a while ago. But, you know, hey, one of them things, you know. Man, that's a long drive.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, the longest drive I ever took out that direction was to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then down to White Sands Missile Range, and then back this way. And I don't know. Somebody's calling me at this hour. These people know I'm on the Greg Squirrel Show on blogtalkradio.com/the Greg Squirrel Show.
It's probably your new friend.
I don't know. Oh my goodness! There it is again. I don't know what you're talking. Who? My new friend.
Your new friend that you've been having conversations with over the weekend. The one that doesn't like your opinions sometimes.
Yeah, I thought we weren't going to go there.
We
don't have to go all the way there, but we'll talk a little bit about it.
You know, it's kind of like the first date. We don't have to go all the way, but, you know, a little touch, a little feel.
We like to, you know.
Yes.
Oh,
congratulations, Miss Megan.
Oh, Megan Goodwin. Holy cow.
New show fight. Why, champion?
Featherweight. Yeah, women's featherweight champion. My goodness.
Megan, I have not had the pleasure of seeing the footage, but everybody I have talked to said that Megan just completely wiped the floor up. I heard there was some bit of some controversies.
Lots of controversies.
But Megan came out with the show fight title. Round of applause. Yeah, there we go. So she's going to be bringing some gold back to Oklahoma with her.
Right.
It was
a stand up fight. I don't mean it was one of the greatest fights. That's not what I'm saying. When I say it was a stand up fight, I mean they were standing up. That's all they. It might have gone to the ground one time, and it did not last very long. And other than that, it was stand up. It was exactly what Megan said it was going to be on the show. You know, her game was stand up. She's been doing a lot of sparring. She's been doing a lot of, I don't guess she needed to work on that ground game. I mean, she went in there and made, she made the Courtney Stowe look ridiculous. And here's what I'm thinking. This is just what I'm thinking. I'm thinking after seeing most of this production, if you will, I'm giving bunny ears over here in Oklahoma. I'm thinking that maybe there was never a contender for the featherweight championship. I'm thinking maybe they might have just placed the belt on this chick, let her have it for a while, and the reason why she gave it up for a year is because she knew she could come back and just pick it right back up. Well, that didn't happen. Megan Goodwin had something else to say about that, and there was not a cheer.
Despite the best laid plan, Megan came out the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say best laid plans, I'm talking about home cooking. That was the most ridiculous display of horrible referee I've ever seen in my life. This guy was terrible. This guy was awful. Not to mention the ring announcer was wearing a T-shirt shaped like a tuxedo. I think if your listeners out there could have seen, I'm going to have to put a picture of it on your Facebook page, I think. It was horrendous. Totally unprofessional, in my opinion. And, yeah, whatever, they were outside, blah, blah, blah. I've seen worse. Don't wear something that looks like you just went to a tuxedo shop and got a T-shirt for going there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It was a little weird. But back to the referee, this guy, you know, some of the guys, I was talking to some of the guys from MMA Madhouse Radio, and they even called it. I mean, they were talking about it on Facebook, how horrible the referee was. There were some things that went down. Basically, they tried to take as many points from Megan as they could for absolutely no reason. I've gone back and watched it again. I never saw a headbutt. I honestly never saw a headbutt. Now, I'm a fan, okay? I'm watching it. So I don't expect to be anybody to get mad at me for voicing my opinion. You know what I mean? Now, I could elaborate, but you and I talked about that. We're not going to. But when you watch something like this and you look at something that's so controversial, you don't take a point from somebody for something that can't be seen. I mean, it's ridiculous. There has to be the people out there watching, they have to see something. They have to know that this is legitimate. They have to know that this is justified. And somebody's going to say, well, as long as the referee sees it, whatever, dude, the referee could see an ankle lock when both people are standing up and I'm not going to believe him. You know what I mean? So, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a – well, never mind. But you'd rather take the butcher's word for it, right? I mean, you want to see what's going on. You want to see what's happening. And then these kicks. You know, Megan's landing these kicks. I mean, whatever, man. She might have landed one that may have misfired a little bit. But you don't take a point from someone for a misfired kick. I saw people – hitting each other in the midsection, and when I say the midsection, I'm talking about below the belt. Right. Nothing was taken away from them. And so this referee, I mean, obviously this guy was biased. He was definitely one-sided. I don't care what anybody says. People could deny it. But if you go to GFL.TV and watch this thing, I rarely have something negative to say about MMA. I rarely have something to say about a live event or a production. I rarely have something negative to say about fighters I don't even know Referees, I don't even know. Judges, I don't even know. I never do that stuff. But this was way too obvious. And Courtney Stowe pokes Megan Goodwin right in the face, right in the eye. Megan's down on knees trying to gain her sight back, and the referee doesn't do anything. Doesn't say anything, doesn't address it, nothing. And Megan's corner is calling BS on the whole thing and trying to get the referee to notice it, and the referee threatens to disqualify Megan for it. I mean,
wow. It's
stupid. It was like every time something went down, it was Megan Goodwin's fault. But I tell you what, man, no amount of points deducted from Megan Goodwin could have equaled enough for a Courtney Stowe win. No amount, period. Megan Goodwin stood toe-to-toe. Not even really toe-to-toe, because Courtney Stowe spent most of the fight backing up and with her, you know, trying to throw blocks and putting her hands up and things like that. So it just wasn't working for Courtney Stowe. It was a huge case. I mean, look, if she's as great as they say she is normally, this was the worst case of ring rust I've ever seen in my life. So she needs to brush up a little bit, Courtney Stowe does. And Megan Goodwin, man, she came out with a force behind her and in front of her and to the sides of her, and she wasn't going to have it. I mean, she was landing like 10 to 12 punch combos, and she did that on several different occasions. So I was very, very proud of Megan. She went up there. She represented what we are and who we are down here and what we do, and she represented why we're fans. And she went up there and laid it all out, and nobody cheered for Megan Goodwin. They all booed Megan when she came out. They all cheered for Courtney Stowe. And by the end of the night, not only was every seat in the house completely empty, but nobody was making a noise when Megan Goodwin put that title belt on. So Megan Goodwin is the new Show Fight Women's Featherweight Champion, and that's the way it's going to be for quite a while as far as I can see.
Hopefully, we're going to be able to get a hold of Megan and have her on the show so she can kind of give her insight from her side of the fence. Or cage,
now, I'm going to tell you right now, if, you know, based on business, I don't expect Megan to side with me. I just want her to know that, you know, because she holds a belt up there. She has to see those people. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm going to be more vocal about it, and so I, you know, I want Megan to know that there's absolutely no pressure, and if she, you know, whatever it is, and I, you know, I'm just strictly speaking from a spectator standpoint, a fan standpoint. Hello, and that's it. So, no, I was being sarcastic.
Why is my mom calling? She knows I'm on the air. She's listening.
Mama squirrel,
mom,
mother squirrel,
mama squirrel. Mama Squirrel doing good. I mean, I thought I was going to get mugged when I walked in the door. you gotta love Mama Squirrel.
Well, not everybody's bouncing baby boy is now a Hall of Famer, so, you know, I can understand.
Oh, you saw me jogging on the beach. Boing, boing. You saw my... Never mind.
You know, I honestly wasn't watching that.
Hey, wait a minute. I hate to cut you off, Bubba, but speaking of bouncing baby boys, even though they're over in England and they probably won't even hear us, we have got to say congratulations to the new heir to the throne. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. It's a baby boy. Yeah, I'm not real excited about this. I mean, people have babies every day. You know, when I was teaching classes, you know, I would have, you know, 30 new people come into my class every 3 weeks. I did this 20 times, taught 20 different waves. And if I had a dime for every female who walked into my class pregnant and ended up having a baby, why are we making such a spectacle about this? I mean, what do they expect? Oh, let's go make a big deal about the heir to the throne, and then what? Tomorrow, this baby is going to be some royal miracle and is going to take over the land. I mean, this thing has to learn how to crap first. You know what I mean? I mean, we got a long way to go here. So I just don't see what the hype is, man. I really don't. Hey, I've got some sad news for you. Dennis Farina, he was a one-time Chicago cop. He played an actor on Law and Order. He played a cop on Law and Order. He has died after suffering a blood clot. Yeah, he suffered a blood clot in his lung. For three decades, he was a character actor who displayed remarkable dexterity, charm, and when called for, toughness, making effective use of his craggy face, steel gray hair, ivory smile, and ample mustache. Dennis, for you know, I'm a huge Law and Order fan, and it was when Jerry Orbach died from SVU, I was pretty disappointed, and now Dennis Farina has passed away, 69 years old, and, you know.
Well, you know, I think the last, I mean, I can't speculate on how his health has been the last couple of years, but the last movie I saw him in was Striking Distance with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, man. That, another great one. Holy cow.
Yeah, that. So, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to his family. That, you know, that is sad news. What was the show? He played a detective and he drove around in the old black Thunderbird.
Crime Story.
I can't remember it, but I remember he had the black Thunderbird.
Was that back in the 80s?
It was either 80s or early 90s. It wasn't on long, maybe only like two or three seasons.
Wait, no, I don't know. I think that name rings a bell to me for some reason, Crime Story, but I don't know.
Okay, we're Googling.
You know, he was born in 1944 in Chicago. He was a city detective before he found his way into the acting profession when he was almost 40 years old. His first film was 1981 action drama Thief, directed by Michael Mann. And he actually met Michael Mann through the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah.
He is survived by three sons, six grandchildren, and his longtime partner, Marianne Cahill. So.
Right, right. I'm Googling this right now.
All right. Well, you Google. Google on down. Man, I've got
Google
some sports.
On boy.
Google on boy. I got some sports news. I'm a little disappointed here. My Yankees, I mean, I'm looking at the standings, the MLB standings. There's a couple of things I want to talk about with the MLB standings. You know, the Yankees are seven games back, just in the American League East. You know, Boston has the second-best record. They are at a .600 win percentage. They're only behind the St. Louis Cardinals with a .615 win percentage. Now, Boston does have 60 wins, which nobody else does, but they have 40 losses. St. Louis only has 37 losses. There's nobody left besides St. Louis and the Pittsburgh Pirates. With losses in the 30s. Pittsburgh Pirates have the third best win percentage. They have the third best record, 594. They're 57-39. They have the third best. Pittsburgh Pirates, third best in Major League Baseball right now.
Wow.
And now, in other news, in the National League Central, the Chicago Cubs are not dead last.
Hold on.
Okay, yeah, I know that's quite a shock. But going back down here, excuse me, to the worst record in Major League Baseball, the Houston Not-So-Astros with a record of 33-64. You know, when they left the National League, they dropped off the map for me. I didn't even know they were still around and still relevant. But back to the Yankees, they're 52-46. I mean, they've got a winning record, but they got smoked last night. The Red Sox walked off a home run against the Yankees and won the game. So I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. It's looking strange. I've never seen the Yankees almost, you know, second to last in their division. I'm not used to stuff like that. It's like walking in and seeing your dad wear a dress or something. You know, I mean, it's just not something you. What? I mean, anybody, not anybody in particular. You know, we may have people out there that's happened to them. And if you've ever walked in a room and seen your dad wearing a dress, I'm sure you had questions, but you just didn't say anything. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been through that. But that's what it's like for me watching the Yankees not in nearly anywhere near first place. So Sad. Greg Oden, NBA news. Greg Oden, you know that name, that big goofy son of a mother.
What do we do now?
He is reportedly close to making a decision on where he'll play, as if he's ever really played. I mean, I don't think he's ever played anywhere. I think he signed with a bunch of people. He will host three teams this week as the former number one overall pick nears a decision on where he'll launch his NBA comeback. Like anybody cares. I think after the nudie pictures came out, I think everybody pretty much just said, yeah, no, who cares. Sources told ESPN.com on Monday, that the Miami Heat, New Orleans Pelicans, I hope I never have to say that out loud again, and the Sacramento Kings will all send representatives this week to watch Oden work out in person. They say that the San Antonio Spurs and Dallas Mavericks, which had face-to-face meetings with Oden last week, also remain in contention with the seven-footer's services. But the Heat and the Spurs established themselves as front-runners to land Oden last month, and according to one source close to the process, remain the co-favorites to sign him. That is coming from Jeff Goodman and Mark Steen, ESPN.com, two of my favorite writers. And so it's like NBA Jam. He's heating up. I mean, things are heating up here for Greg Oden.
Right.
There's some other stuff. Let me see. No, maybe not. Yeah, so the NBA did confirm that the Hornets' name will return to Charlotte. You know, it was speculation for a while, but, you know, the NBA did make it a definite. They did make it happen. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year, though. This next coming basketball season, the 13-14 basketball season, is not going to happen. It's going to be the 14-15 basketball season. So,
but it is going to happen.
It is absolutely going to happen. It's a guaranteed deal. Now they're talking about, you know, what colors they're going to use. I think if they can settle on colors, I think they'll be okay.
I think they should go back to the purple and teal.
Purple, teal, and white, like they used to be back in the day.
Grandmama,
Family Matters. Larry Johnson played Grandmama with Urkel. He was Urkel's basketball coach.
Yeah, I do that.
Oh man, hey, I love that show. I DVR that show.
Laura, where's Laura?
Yeah, look what you did. I remember he always said stuff like that. You know, it got kind of cool. A lot of people didn't like it, but it got kind of cool when he made that transformation chamber.
Urkel.
And started turning himself into other people.
Stefan Urkel.
Yeah, he was all suave and smooth and everything. And Laura was in love with him, and so things got good.
Myra was hot.
Yeah, Myra was very, very hot. And like we talked about, you know, she passed away from cancer back in 99, I believe. That was just a year after Family Matters went off the air, man. I mean, she didn't make it that much longer.
No, it's sad. You know, that's sad that happened. What else you got, buddy?
By way of sports, I mean, I don't really have much. I mean, there was an issue at a TNA event this weekend. Yeah, they're trying to figure out who
was
responsible.
Did real wrestlers actually showed up?
No, I mean this is ridiculous. The original story said that Bruce Pritchard may have become a casualty of TNA's cost-cutting actions here. Sources report that the company restructures itself. They have been asking office personnel to restructure their deals. Pritchard was asked to do so and reportedly rejected that request, and his days were numbered. Then they came, and that was the original story. Then they came out with an update that said Bruce Pritchard was gone. He was a senior vice president of programming and talent relations. That's too much on his plate at the same time. As previously reported, there were several issues with Pritchard, including his stalling out contract negotiations with people like Drew Hankinson, who was in Aces and Eights, and RVD. He just let them expire. Also released was D'Lo Brown. He was in charge of the gut check tryouts and was an agent. The second update that came out said the person that would have been overseeing the licensing of talents for different states would have been Bruce Pritchard. Pritchard parted ways with TNA, like we just talked about. They headed to the house show in Cape Girardeau, Missouri on Saturday night. Prior to the start of the show, road agent Pat Kenny had to explain to the crowd that half of the wrestlers who were scheduled would not be allowed to work due to the commission licensing issues. There was a ton of people. There was a ton of eight fighters. There was only eight fighters who got to come out and entertain a crowd of 500 people. Now, I got on Millionaire Matt Riviera's page today on Facebook, and I said, I think we can safely call TCW the second largest wrestling promotion, the second best in the United States. I mean, eight wrestlers, 500 people? Come on. There's absolutely no way a TCW show would go down like that. I've seen thousands of people show up to TCW. I've seen so many wrestling matches go down that they've got enough TV material for 2 months out of one show. This TNA, remember we talked about this. They are in the dumps. They're not doing well. You know, there's a financial report that came out today, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. There was dadgummit. I need to find where that was. But there's a report that came out on the financial situation of TNA, and it is just not good. They talk about how the front office has been behind at least a month and a half on paying the wrestlers. They just haven't had enough revenue. I think they're too concerned. What they need to do is go back to the Impact Zone down there in Florida and worry about selling tickets instead of traveling around and doing things that they can't do. They've got that, what is that, that champagne taste on a beer budget or whatever they call
right,
it.
Right, right.
That's what they're doing. They're out trying to live this lavish lifestyle and look good like the WWE does because they're a billion-dollar corporation, and they're trying to do the same thing. But TNA is not going to make it, dude. And these are all these delusions of grandeur that Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff have, and they're running TNA straight into the ground. I told you this was going to happen, man.
Hey, wait a minute. Who was the one that originally asked this be the beginning of the end of TNA?
I don't know, but I remember telling you that the downfall started when they signed Hulk Hogan. That's when the downfall started. This is a horrible idea. I don't think this is ever going to work with them, and I'm disappointed to see it happen. You got guys that have been with this company for a long time. They've been faithful and loyal to this company, and now they're having to fight for their jobs. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, you got some of the originals like AJ Styles, Abyss, Samoa Joe. Well, Samoa Joe was originally Ring of Honor.
But yeah,
you got guys like AJ Styles, Abyss, that have been there since the very beginning, and you kind of got a feel for those guys. I mean, it just seems like no matter what TNA does, it's really not getting them there. It looks good for a while, but then it just kind of starts going back into the sewer. Hey, we got a special guest, Clint.
Who we got?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your showtime, ladies champion, Megan Goodwin. How's it going, Megan?
Good. How are you guys?
We are awesome. We were talking a little bit earlier about the big victory Saturday night. Congratulations. Got some gold around your waist. How's it feel?
It feels great. I've been freaking preparing hardcore and, you know, just thinking about it over and over every day, and it's finally over, and I'm glad that it worked out how it did, and I'm pretty happy with my performance. So it was an interesting fight, but I'm really glad to bring home the belt.
Right. I'll let Clint take it from here because he was on the pay-per-view feed, so he was able to see more of what was going on. I was out in, as you know, I was out in Arizona doing my thing. So Clint, talk to us, buddy.
Megan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I think you know where I'm going with this and where I'm going to try to stay away from to save face here. Tell me about the eye poke. Tell me about what happened with this.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think she's the type of person to do it on purpose, although, you know, she might have, because she probably thought I was trying to kick her in the crotch, which apparently the ref thought I was. I don't know. But it was just like she put her hand on my cheek and just rammed her hand into my eye. Like, it was hard enough to where I have a bruise on the top of my eyelid.
I was wondering if something like that was going to happen. And someone, I'm not going to mention names unless it comes down to it, unless somebody wants to get crazy with me, but someone confronted me on Facebook after all this was said and done and said that it was just a hard shot and that it was not an eye poke. So, I mean, is that true? Is that it was just a hard shot, or was that a blatant eye poke?
They clearly know that it was an eye poke, because he was, you know, they were sitting there saying, oh, she can't see now. She can't see now. It's clear. Her eyes about to close. I mean, you know that I was poked. I'm not the type of person to sit there and, like, hit the ground or actually stop fighting in general if I didn't get poked ridiculously hard. It felt like there was just, like, it felt like there was a contact or something just, like, wadded up in my eye. It was ridiculous. Wow. I've never been poked like that. Like, I couldn't, and still, I just started being able to see out of it last night was really when I started getting, like, where I could not have to completely squint my eye and it constantly water. But, yeah, still at the very top of it, it's kind of, like, darker. I can't really see the very top of my, like, out of the very top of my eye. It's kind of hard to explain. But, yeah, it was definitely a very hardcore eye poke. No punch. She didn't really even punch me very hard at all the whole fight. So, I mean, no, it was definitely an eye poke.
Yeah, you know, it looked like it was her very first fight ever to me.
Yeah.
I watched the, if you could have, I mean, you probably did. You may not have been focusing on that, but if you could have seen the look on her face that we saw through pay-per-view, to me, she looked like she was scared to death, to be honest with you. And I would have been, too, because you've got this, I don't know what to call it, like a walking stick, like a spider monkey, like a stance that you got to, your hands are, your arms are up, your hands are up, you're making her focus on something, and then...
Yeah.
And then once you get her focusing up in the air, you land these kicks, which they can take points away for stuff like that. But like I told Squirrel, no amount of points that they could have taken from you would have added up to be enough for her to win. I thought there was some home cooking involved. I thought it looked like the most garbage I've ever seen. That referee was god-awful. And for him to try to disqualify you because your corner called out the eye poke. I mean, your corner's calling out the eye poke. You're hurt. You're down on both knees.
He didn't. Yeah, and my corner didn't even directly say something to him, which it was my boyfriend, so obviously he's going to get kind of worked up. But all he said was, man, that's bull crap.
Yeah.
Like, which he shouldn't have said that. But either way, he didn't, like, call him out. And the ref was like, do you know who I am? Blah, blah, blah. Because he's a fighter. But just so nobody knows this, but they didn't even, like, warn us for our fight. There was supposed to be a few more fights in front of me, and I guess they got canceled, and we didn't know. I had warmed up kind of a little bit. I had just put my gloves on and went over there and barely did some, like, kicks and punches, and then I was just sitting over there watching a little bit because I thought I still had, like, 3 or 4 fights. And all of a sudden, they were like, now for the Women's Featherweight Championship. And I was like, what? So I just throw my stuff down and run to the cage. It was crazy.
Yeah, the confrontation email, which if you know me, I don't give a damn about a confrontation email. I don't think it would have gone down like that if we were all in person. But the confrontation email I got said that Show Fight is just a clean promotion all the way around. There's no controversy. There's never any issues like that. And the business end is a wonderful thing. You know, the way that they put it on, I mean, it was good enough, you know, for a pay-per-view. I spent, personally, $15 to watch the super heavyweight fight and to watch the women's featherweight fight. That was why I spent $15. So all the other stuff was just kind of a bonus. But, you know, up until the Afro Samurai got in the cage, the fight of the night for me was the first women's fight, and that was only into the first round I had that voted fight of the night. You know, the rest of it, there was not much that was very impressive. And then, you know, when I saw you two come out and they were taking points from you and not taking points from her for doing not the exact same action, but the same principle, you know, it just kind of, like, I was mad. I mean, I told you on Facebook, I was yelling at you in my computer screen. I've got a I've got a huge computer monitor. I had the thing, the fight was blown up the whole time. And I'm standing in my kitchen. I've got a long entryway into the kitchen. I've got my computer desk set up. My kids are in the living room. I've got headphones on, so nobody can hear what's going on. And I'm in here saying, you know, after they took points from you, I'm yelling at you, Megan. I'm saying, you got to finish her now. You got to finish her now. They're going to try to give her the fight. They're going to try to take as many points they can away from me. I mean, I was telling you a story, and I knew you couldn't hear me, but I turned around and looked behind me, and I had a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old staring at me like I was in here having a heart attack. So
that's awesome.
But I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was around the corner, and I kept hearing everybody boo you and everybody cheer for her, and the whole crowd was on her side, which I have no idea why, because she just didn't impress me at all, but I thought it was going to take a huge south turn, and I kept sitting here saying they're going to steal it from her. They're going to steal it from her, and then it turned out to be a unanimous decision. So, I mean, I can't tell you how proud of you that I am. I mean, you know I'm a fan of yours, and you know I've honestly felt bad that we couldn't keep getting you on the card at XFI, and that's just because people kept backing out. You know the story, but. Yeah. I was glad to see you finally be able to get back in the cage, and you're 4-0 now, is that right?
I'm 3-0 MMA, but 4-0 altogether. I won a Muay Thai contest, kickboxing fight too, so altogether 4-0,
Now, are you going to be in this big Muay Thai kickboxing thing that's coming up on this big tournament that's coming up in November in Muskogee for Strike King?
I did not even hear about it, so I guess not, because I do have 2 fights lined up already, but,
they've got a big deal going down at the, Muskogee Civic Center in, Muskogee here, I think November, what was that, Squirrel, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd?
Yes, 1st, 2nd, and
3rd. Yeah, they've got a huge tournament coming up, and, you know, I went to a Striking show. Mike Ward and Christina Rose came by and scooped me up one weekend. I didn't have the kids. They wanted to get me out of the house because I never leave. And they took me to Muskogee to watch Striking, and I was completely shocked. I had the greatest time that I've ever had anywhere outside of XFI. And so I'm definitely going to be at this tournament coming up. And so, you know, I didn't know if you'd be at something like that. But what is your next scheduled fight, Megan?
I do have a pay-per-view fight at the Hard Rock in Tulsa. It's September 6th, and then also again November 8th at the Hard Rock in Tulsa. So I'll be working with Dale Cook a lot and probably doing most of the Hard Rock shows from now on. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm glad to see you moving kind of away, you know, to the bigger side of things, the bigger places, the bigger venues, the bigger events, you know, because I think that's where you're at. I mean, I think you're beyond the, you know, and I'm not knocking anything around here, but I just think you're beyond the small town production, and I think you're on that level where it's going to be hard for you to find an opponent, not just somebody to get in the cage with you. I think you'll be able, in these bigger promotions, I think you'll be able to find somebody who will get in the cage with you, but I think it's going to be hard to find somebody who can contend with you, to be honest with you.
I hope so. Thank you. I mean, I just hope that it doesn't keep happening where people back out on me. I don't think it'll happen at the Hard Rock. They usually find some pretty good girls to fight there, so I'm looking forward to those fights.
You bet. So is there any word on when the next show fight event is going down?
I don't know. I really don't know when they said the next one was. And, I mean, not to bash show fights, because JT was really awesome to me. He was, he treated me well, and they were good to us there. But yeah, I don't know if we're gonna go back, or I don't know, you know, what's going on with show fights. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to find out. I'm gonna hand it back over to Greg here. But Megan, I'm proud of you, and I appreciate you
Thank
coming
you.
Back on. And we've talked to you a couple of times here, and we'll probably keep doing it again. So my birthday is actually September 10th, and I've mentioned before that my parents live in Tulsa, so there's a babysitter for me, and if I want to come up to the Hard Rock and check out another fight, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I may be there in September.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Should come out.
Definitely. Squirrel, what you got, man?
Well, no, not much. You pretty much asked all the good questions, and, you know, all I can just keep saying is congratulations to Megan. Definitely got a bright future ahead of her. You know, who knows? We may see her jumping, running up to Kansas City, maybe find her on an Invicta show all we can say is you're welcome to call in here anytime. If you do have an event that you want to let people know about, you're welcome to call in anytime, and we will give you the microphone. It will be yours.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right, Megan. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. See ya.
See ya. Is she not awesome?
Man, I'm gonna tell you one thing about that one right there. The sky is the limit for that lady.
Oh, yeah.
She is going to go places, and she is going to do things, and nobody is going to tell her no. I promise you.
Oh, I mean, well, like I say, you know, I saw her start out in Fort Smith at some of those events, and then she's kind of expanded her circle, and, you know, going to Springfield's just a perfect example of that. So, and she's still young. So, she has nobody to stop her but herself. So, wish her all the best. And like I said, she's welcome to call in here anytime she wants. Megan Goodwin, folks, keep an eye on her. I will not be surprised if we don't be seeing her on UFC within the next 5 to 10 years, if not sooner.
Yep, I'm down with that. I think you're right.
All right, man, you should, Clint, I'm telling you, man, you should have been in Phoenix with me.
Man, I wanted to, dude. You know, I've got in my last 2 weeks of July are one of my extended times that I get with my kids during the summer, you know. So, I mean, I've been pretty much tied up and handling XFI business and stuff like that. So, I wish I could have been, man. Tell us a little bit about it. Tell everybody kind of what you guys did.
Oh, well, man, the Arizona Grand Resort. I mean, we pulled up, you know. We left out of me, Sean, and Michael. We left out of here 8 o'clock Monday morning, or Tuesday morning. My bad, Tuesday morning, and pulled into the Arizona Grand Resort. And I know you've Googled it on the Facebook, so you've kind of seen some pictures of this place. I mean, it's like driving onto a James Bond movie. That's how nice this place was. And so we get in there. Because, you know, our first class is bright and early, 9 o'clock, Wednesday morning. So, and that was the tactical self-defense courses with Rand Nakash, Danny Netzer from Israel. They flew 24 hours on a plane to be in Phoenix, Arizona last week teaching
Good
this
Lord.
Course. And, I mean, these guys are the top instructors for the Israeli military. And, you know, it's like I was telling people last week, I mean, before they get assigned to their units or anything, they got to go through these guys. I mean, and these guys are baddest of the bad, and they covered everything from, you know, somebody coming up and bear hugging you, how to get out of it, somebody comes up, grab you by the arm, all the way to you know, somebody pulling a knife on you, taking you down to the ground on how to get out of that situation and get the weapon away from them. Not just fend them off, but how to actually turn your attacker into the victim. And that was the coolest part. They had that going on all week. But then you also had individual courses going on for different things. O.J. Guerra, fantastic guy. I love him to death. You know, I had him on the show, and he gave some tactical knife defense courses. And that was awesome. Don Wilhelm, Mid-America Martial Arts up in Branson, Missouri. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to good way to put this because, I mean, they were teaching me arm moves that with just a flick of a wrist, I could have somebody screaming like a beep. Beep, 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 you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean.
That's good stuff, man.
I mean, and he didn't even have me down to the ground, and he took my arm up and did this move on my wrist. And I'm just like, really? Okay, Dot, you can let go now. I'm not going to the ground, but it's hurting but it's hurting enough already to let go. But there's Don Wilhelm, Bob Suttles, Grandmaster Bob Suttles. He was only there for one day. He had to leave early because his grandson was getting married. You know, we had him on the show. And, of course, Richard Bastillo. I mean, just getting to work with one of Bruce Lee's very first students when he came to America. I mean, that is just that's a mind-blowing experience right there. And actually got to be his
guinea pig.
Yeah, his guinea pig. There you go. Because he was talking through this one move. You do this with the arm, and then you kick this leg out and do this. And here's Master Richard Bastillo doing this to me. And I'm just like, yeah, baby. You know, so all the instructors were a blast. Jerry Cook teaching people how to cane fight, if you have a cane or a stick, how to use that to protect yourself. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. They're starting to work on next year. Looks like it's either going to be St. Louis or Nashville. So. I mean, definitely be going up there or wherever it is. I'll be there. I will not miss it. And then, of course, Saturday they had Nate the Rock Quarry, for a former UFC champion, and he was giving his MMA course. And I mean, Nate was awesome. Matter of fact, I'm going to be posting some pictures on Facebook later. Me and Nate, we got our picture together after the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And I got to admit, I started bawling like a little baby. I went up, and Marty Kale, president of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and Don Wilhelm, who was the master of ceremonies, presented me with my plaque. And, I mean, all I could think about was my dad.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I mean, I was wishing my dad could have been there to see that. And so, great memories. And, I mean, the food, ate at Joe's Crab Shack, and that place was delicious. And the whole experience. The only thing I didn't get to do was play golf.
Ah.
I mean, but
did you ever find a pool to go to?
Yes, how can you not? They had eight pools on the place.
Well, I knew you walked outside and looked around and saw all the pools, and you were over there making life decisions, you know. So I mean,
yes, I mean, apparently there was some wardrobe malfunctions that happened before we got there. That we missed out on. Apparently, Marty Kale and his wife Jenny were going down the water slide, and from what I understand, Jenny kind of had a wardrobe malfunction, and so there you go.
Nice. Very nice.
There it was. There it is.
She just, yeah, that's good stuff. Wow.
What else?
Man,
you got,
know what
buddy?
I've You know what I feel like doing right now? I feel like drinking a Bud Light Lime.
Bud Light Lime?
Just one. Wow. Yeah, just one. Just one. One ice cold bottle of Bud Light Lime, just for some reason.
Speaking of that, that was the only complaint I had about that place.
Not enough booze?
No, they had plenty of booze if you had $9 a bottle.
Oh yeah, no way. I'd have found me a gas station.
And you know, each room had the little fridge. The rooms were nice, don't get me wrong. But in the fridge, and I'm talking little airplane, like you get on the airplane when you're flying somewhere. $9 a bottle.
God.
Needless to say, I
could spend $8 on a 12-pack over here where I live, so there's no way I'd spend $9 a bottle on anything.
Yeah, all I know is it was Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, I woke up with the leg cramp from hell.
Wow.
And if there'd have been a banana in the fridge, I would have sacrificed the $6 for a banana.
Right, yeah.
Because it took me an hour just to walk around and get that leg cramp to loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marty, Professor Kale showed me a place on his calf. He had a leg cramp so major that they had to go in and slice it to get it to release.
Wow.
So he has this big old scar on his leg. And I am just like, I never want a leg cramp that bad.
No, I don't either. I imagine that'd be a little painful.
Hey, we got some birthdays.
Do you?
I got some
I was going to give an update on one Jake the Snake Roberts fan favorite. He put a picture up on Twitter with a sobriety update. He is 254 days cocaine free and 33 days without a single drink.
All right.
Jake the Snake, at Jake Snake DDT on Twitter. And Jake the Snake, you know, he made his appearance with TCW earlier this month.
Right.
And that was a huge smash hit success. I heard it was way better than the time we saw him in 2011. You know, he looks a lot better. He sounds a lot better. And big hammer time there to Jake the Snake. What do you got as far as birthdays and stuff go?
Well, you know, I was watching one of his interviews that he had before, and I'm thinking this was back before he had the small relapse. But he did an interview. It was him and DDP, and he said it, and you could tell by looking at him how good he's been doing on this DDP yoga program. But on that particular interview, he said he was in better shape now than he was when he was in WWE.
Definitely. Yeah, that's one thing we talked about one day on the show.
Yeah. Birthdays, Becky Peterson. Happy birthday to Becky. I don't have an exact number, which is probably a good thing. We don't want to be killed on the Greg Skrull show for divulging classified information. Also want to say happy birthday to Teresa Lowe. She's got a birthday going on today. Also want to say a big birthday to Gary Ezell. Gary is the former promoter and one of the former owners of Tribal Promotions that used to run down there in Fort Smith. He's got a big birthday going on today, so we want to give a shout out to him. And we also want to give a big shout-out to Kingdom MMA. They got a birthday going on today. Also, want to say a happy 20th. It's a day early, but I wanted to get it on because his mama was nice enough to send it to me. So we want to say a happy early 23rd birthday to Josh Shipp. He's got a birthday going down tomorrow, but his mama, Jody, sent that in to me today and said, would you please give Josh a big shout out. So there we go as far as birthdays, etc. Want to give a big shout out to our buddy Christina Rose and Mike Ward. They're listening in today. We also want to say hello to Dean Mighty Mouse Vaughn. I'm going to get with Mighty Mouse to get him on the show because he's been wanting to give us an update on the big ankle injuries on how they're mending and everything. So we're gonna work with Dean on when he can get on the show and expound on his stuff. And that's about it. Huh. Some guy named Clint Davis, he's on my Facebook page today, so I don't know who that loser is. God.
I know, right? Hey, have you scrolled down and seen these new pictures that Megan Goodwin put up?
Oh, yeah, I saw those.
Nice. Especially that high leg kick, that was, or the head kick that was just about connected. I mean, Courtney Stowe put her hands up, but if Megan would have connected that kick to the head, would have just, I think it would have, it probably would have put Stowe out if she would have. If she would have landed it. But, I mean, she still, Courtney had a tough time defending it, even with her hands up. I mean, it still rocked her a little bit.
Hey, I just got some on my little flasher thing here. Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers has been suspended for the remainder of the 2013 season for violation of the Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program for baseball.
Wow. Why are they suspending people for this? Come on.
Don't ask me.
This is ridiculous.
Don't hate the messenger. Just
don't hate the player, hate the game. I can't stand this crap. Hey, it's ridiculous. Hey, tonight 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, Monday Night Baseball, Yankees at the Rangers. Somebody's getting updates from, let's see, was that 4029?
Yeah.
Oh, bing, 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 bing. I'm good, huh? That was good.
Yeah, you're good. Okay. No, there was a body found under one of the bridges here on the bypass here in Northwest Arkansas, and they identified the body, and they were just letting everybody know who it was. Nobody I knew.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's not good that that happened, but it's good that it's nobody you know.
I need to go get me one of them ring announcer t-shirt, tuxedo t-shirts.
You know, if you do something like that, I mean, we're going to have a problem.
I was scanning some of the pictures from the show fight event, and here's their little ring announcer wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
Ridiculous. Completely unprofessional. I don't care what the temperature is. I'm not asking him to go out and wear an actual tux, but don't half-ass it. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're going to look the part, then look professional. This guy was awful.
Well, would that? I'm just wondering if that would fit under my. You've heard me. My philosophy on ring announcers. You've heard me say it. You can tell the ring announcers that are just there for checks and ring announcers that really take pride in what they do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to decide which one that would fit under.
I mean.
Well, I'll put it.
It wasn't that good, to be honest with you. There was no pep in his voice. There was no, you know. I mean, we've got one video up already from Extreme Infinity on June 29th. Now you can listen to your voice. You can listen when you're announcing winners. When you're talking, you can understand that you're there for the crowd. You're there for the because that's what you do. That's what you enjoy. You can tell. But there's some people that get in there and they just say, all right, here's your winner. And then they point at somebody. And it's like, what kind of ring announcing is that?
Well, you know, it actually took me a long time. You know, everybody's heard me kind of bellyache and complain about the Arkansas State Athletic Commission. But, you know, it took me a long time to get them to let me ring the result, read out the results when it goes to the scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times they would just give me, and apparently because of that, I may have misquoted some at XFI because they tell me one thing, and then I read the scores. Well, then I'm getting blasted with emails saying, was that a majority or was that a split? I'm like, hey, I'm just going by what the athletic commission tells me. So, I call it a rug jerk. I was announcing an event up in Washington, Missouri, and Jeff Escobar, Mid-America Martial Arts out of Branson, I forget the name of the guy he was fighting, but, you know, when I'm reading my results, I read the results the same way as I introduce them. So I'm reading the scores. Judge number one scores the fight. I never mention the judge's name unless they tell me to. I never mention the judge's name. I just go judge one, two, three. So I mentioned judge one scores about 27-29. Judge number two scores about 28-30. Well, this guy starts going eight nuts because he's not paying attention. And I go, ladies and gentlemen, and this judge number three scores about 29-30. Your winner by unanimous decision, Jeff Escobar. And, I mean, this guy just stopped dead in his tracks. Like, oh, hell. Hello, Mother. So, anyway, I call that my rug jerk is because I just flat pulled the carpet right out from under that guy. God.
Yeah, people, right.
I'm in the middle of a show. Leave
me alone.
I know.
I had to silence my phone. I just had to turn a dead gun thing off. This is ridiculous.
Now the house phone's ringing.
Yeah, I've heard that one, too.
People are saying, wow, he still has a house phone?
I do, too. Same number since 1978.
Yeah. Yeah, now she's going to leave a message on the answering machine. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
She knows you do a show, right?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Okay, anyway, business stuff. So.
What do you have going on over there, the TV or something?
I don't know. My butthole just puckered for some reason.
Oh, my gosh. what is this all about?
I don't know. Woo, boy, my butthole just puckered up tighter than, never mind, we ain't gonna say.
Roger that.
Apparently, I'm in trouble for something. There's no telling.
What is your mom upset with you?
No. Apparently, my darling DJ that works for me apparently has a burr under her saddle about something. So, uh oh. And now people are texting me. My friend Michelle just said, "You got some mama drama."
Speaking of mama drama, there's a lot of talk about an episode of the Maury Povich show that was on, and I think it was today.
Maury.
Reports are saying that this lady yelled the whole time about her man being a punk. The paternity test came out negative, and he wasn't the father, and she cried, "Whose baby is this? I know it's not Jesus because I've only slept with one man."
Wow.
So apparently she, I don't know, maybe she drinks as much as I do. Who knows? There's something going on here.
Uh-oh, hey, we got a top 10 list.
Oh, let's go.
All right, here we go. Where's my music? Okay. Top 5 signs a magazine has gone too far. Oh, wow. I just saw the first one, and I'm like, uh-oh. Let me get my little drum roll over here. Here we go. Top 5 signs a magazine has gone too far. Number 5, Entertainment Weekly. Kardashians, the scratch and sniff issue.
Dope.
Number 4, National Geographic. Article showing topless native women featured the exotic land of spearmint rhino. Okay. TV Guide issue, in which every episode description is a single word. Crap.
Nice.
Reader's Digest. I am Joe's throbbing man tool article.
Wow. Yeah.
And the number 1 sign a magazine has gone too far, militant separatist Chechen Muslim terrorist digest, Madonna on the cover. Again? Oh!
Wow. Only with a British accent. That would only be complete with a British accent.
Okay, maybe that wasn't the best music to be ending off the...
I was wondering what you were doing. I was like, all right, folks, well, we'll see you tomorrow.
No, heck no. I'm staying on the air till my butthole puck loosens up.
Well, you know, I would too. I mean, you might. I heard they make a little cream that'll clear that right up.
Hey. Yeah, my proctologist just sent me a text message. What's going on?
Wow.
You didn't beat me.
Isn't that no? Hey, at least it wasn't the podiatrist.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Who is messaging now? You got Facebook stuff going down, right?
I got Facebook. Everybody and their dog are wanting to be a part of me today.
There's a picture going around Facebook of George Washington in front of the Continental Army, and he's saying, we fought for independence so we wouldn't have to care about the royal baby.
Wow.
Booyah. If I get one more game request, I'm not going to murder somebody, but I'm thinking about it.
I don't blame you.
I don't know why I'm getting game requests all of a sudden. I went through a period of time where I didn't get any. And now it's like it's all hitting me at once.
Oh, man. I meant to talk about this. Apparently, sometime last week or over the weekend, Uncle Si from Duck Dynasty...
Yep.
Was supposed to be down in Conway, or at least
he was
they
down
were,
there. Yeah,
they were advertising him to be there. He never 20,000 people never got to see him.
Well, that's because they had too damn many people show up and had to turn people away at the door.
That's not what I heard. I heard that he just flat didn't show up at all.
I didn't hear that. I heard he was down there, but there were too many people who showed up, so they had to start turning people away. That's what I heard. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Oh, maybe I need to go back and listen to the full story instead of just reading the cliff notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably works. I'm not the best media man on the planet, but by God, I try.
Well, you know, that's all we can do is try, Squirrel.
Well, you know... It's like I told them down at the martial arts. I said, hey, you guys, you know, I'm not the best ring announcer. I will never be the best ring announcer. All I can do is strive to get better with each and every show.
Now, I got a question for you, and this is going back to what you said about when you accepted your award.
Yes.
At the time that your dad had passed, did you know at that point that you were going into the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay, so he didn't even know.
Yeah, he didn't even know. This all happened after Dad passed. It was like 2 weeks after Dad passed away when I got the call about this.
Wow. I think maybe he headed up north and made things happen for you. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. I'd like to think Dad is still watching over me.
You bet. I don't have a doubt in my mind that he is.
St. Louis, next year, buddy. You're going.
That's how it works. I want to make if it's not on a you know the during the period of time where I've got my kiddos, then I'll make it happen one way or the other.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, because they're still in the negotiating stages between, and I heard Chicago might even be in the picture.
I'd kind of like to go back to Chicago. You know, going to boot camp up in Great Lakes. It's been 12 years since I've been there, you know, and by next year it'll be 13 since I've been there. So, you know, I think it would be a kind of a good deal for me to go there. I don't know.
Well, like I say, we'll just have to see what happens and plan accordingly.
Yeah.
We want to say hello to, I don't know if she's still listening, Psychic Veronica was in
what?
The chat room a little bit earlier. Some guy named Clint Davis. Oh, yeah, hey, man. You know, when you're a major celebrity, you know, you got to have psychics and all that stuff. Wow. Did I just say that?
I smell bull feces. That's what I smell. It's getting deep over here, folks.
Is that anything like booey tie?
Booey tie. Yeah.
Oh, I meant to mention that. Eric Stevens with Uncivil War. I got an email late Sunday night that we have had to cancel the big outdoor event that was supposed to be this coming weekend.
Oh man.
Well, apparently Eric is still having problems with his hand, so he's having to have hand surgery again. And what are you doing? Playing a little funk jam?
Yeah, a little bit. Trying to anyway. Just trying to add a little variety.
Fine. No, apparently back during Memorial Day holidays and stuff, Eric and some friends were at the lake. He was jumping off a cliff or something, caught his hand, ripped it halfway to China, and messed up some muscles and tendons and stuff in there. He already had one hand surgery, so apparently he's having to have a second hand surgery. So, unfortunately, the big event, the big outdoor event for Uncivil War MMA has been canceled, but they are still scheduled their next event for September, which I will be at.
Man, there's a lot of things happening in September. I'm surprised to see just what all is going down. I've got a little bit of breaking news here on some XFI stuff.
Talk to me.
Not only is our next event October 26th, but we have a busy 2014 coming up. We have our first event of 2014 is going to be February the 8th. And then the one after that is going to be 2 months later in mid-April. So, I mean, there's not going to be much of a waiting period. And then the one after that is going to be in mid-June. So, I mean, we've got like a two-month break between shows now. I mean, that's how much bigger things are getting for us.
Now, do they have specific dates already in place or just months?
February the 8th, I would have to get my date book out. I wrote these down the other day, and I don't remember if I brought my date book in from the car or from the truck. I don't drive a car. I drive a big red Dodge Ram quad cab with a V8, 4x4, got a 360 under the hood. That thing you could hook a chain up to it and drag the tin man through a keyhole.
Yummy.
February the 8th. And then I want to say like April 12th or something like that. I'd have to look at a calendar to know. It's all middle of the month here. Let me go February.
Well, I guess I need to be getting with them so I can get them on my calendar.
Let's see, February, yes. February 8th is the second Saturday. That is 2 days after my daughter's birthday. She will be 6. So that will be Saturday, February 8th. And then, let's see, April 2014 calendar. Let me look at April. And it looks like April 12th.
Okay.
Second Saturday looks like April 12th. And then let me go to June 2014 calendar. And it's looking like June 14th, a Saturday.
Okay.
Now we do not have names for those pay-per-views. For those events, those live events, this next one is going to be
Don't be promoting any pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah, what idiot doesn't promote pay-per-views? I mean, come on. This will be our 9th coming up in October, and then February will be our 10th. So April will be number 11, and then June will be 12. So
they're kind of like James Bond movies. We just put a number behind them until we get an actual story, and then we go from there.
That's right. We will know more once these fight cards get kind of played out here. And, you know, I mean, we've got some stuff shaping up for October 26th that's going to keep people in the seats. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going
to
be real.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, you bet. So, yeah, those are the dates right now.
Like I say, I guess I need to get with the powers that be to verify that I'm still in the loop, in the door, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, definitely. We had a business meeting over the weekend. That, honestly, wasn't even one of the things we talked about. We talked about so many things. It was, you know, we talked about dates. We talked about... you know, sales, we talked about tickets. I mean, golly, there were so many things on the agenda that we talked about. And,
nobody talked about me.
No, but hey, we do have this, we're reaching out to the community here, and we've got this contest for people to come in and sing the national anthem. We want the community to be able to showcase their talents. You know, we want to get people in who, you know, want to be a part of this. We want to involve as many people as we can with XFI events, and so we're having a contest to find a talented singer. It's called Extreme Idol. We're having holding auditions for Extreme Idol, and if people are interested, they can email a video audition of them singing to extremeidol@thexfi.com. If anybody's interested in doing that, even in Northwest Arkansas, it doesn't matter. If they want to be a part of this, they want to come down. Now, the winner not only receives a shot at singing and showcasing their talents in front of a sold-out crowd, they also will receive two VIP passes as well as two premium seating tickets. So,
where do I sign up?
Just send a video submission, a video audition. Submit a video audition to Extreme Idol. Now, Extreme is Xtreme. There's no E on there. Xtreme. Idol, IDOL. Extreme Idol at thexfi.com. If anybody's interested.
I'm interested. I'm going to sign up.
Hey, did you see what we did on the XFI official Facebook page today?
I haven't seen it lately. What? Let me go look. Hold on. Hold that thought.
Yeah. I can tell you.
Well, tell me.
I got up this morning and thought, you know what? We need to make something happen. And for those of you who know Clint Davis, you know that Clint Davis makes things happen. And
he's
I got
a pimp.
Well, you know, Pimp Daddy D. No, I'm just kidding. They, some people call me Big Sexy, but we won't get into that. She knows who she is, and so do the others. Anyway, I looked at our likes. We only had 962 likes this morning, and I said, I'm going to get us to 1,000. I made a big push to get us to 1,000 likes. 2 hours later, we had 1,000 likes. It took 2 hours to get 38 more likes. Which is good for first thing on a Monday morning, because everybody knows everybody hates Mondays. Even the Boomtown Rats, they came out with a song. We're now up to 1,026 likes. Out of that 1,026, 275 of those people are my personal friends on Facebook. So I've got like a quarter of the likes on the XFI's page. Those are my friends, and I'm kind of proud of that. But, yeah, so we made the big push to get to 1,000, and I told everybody that whoever was number 1,000 would be able to co-host an episode of XFI Live with me at a date of their choosing. Now, so far, we found the winner. I got a hold of the winner, and it was someone who I'd had in class before. I'd taught this lady, and she said, "I was just supporting the page. I don't want to be on the radio." I said, okay, so we went down to 1,001, and I sent her an email. This is also a close personal friend of mine, and she didn't want to be on the radio either. So I've got to find somebody. I mean, I can't just, you know, blow it out the window and be like, oh, well, nobody wins. I mean, I got to find somebody. I'm going to go down to number 1,002 and then 1,003 and 1,004, 1,005. As soon as I find somebody who wants to be on the radio – and is not worried about, you know, getting on there and sounding like a goober like we do every day, then
I'm a Hall of Fame goober. Remember that.
That's true. A Hall of Fame goober. I'm a low class, third rate goober.
But we love you, baby.
Man, I appreciate that. I love everybody out there. I'm glad everybody listens and, you know, good stuff. I'm glad you were able to make it today. I mean, not that I wasn't going to be able to do the show on my own. I've done it before. I'll do it again. But people love Greg Squirrel, man. Everybody wants to see Greg Squirrel involved.
Yeah, well, I'm just me. I was kind of hoping we'd have a call, but apparently somebody doesn't have the testicular fortitude to call us on the air. They blast us on emails and stuff.
Well, and I don't, you know, where is this little fruit ball that calls in and cusses every now and then? I've noticed that ever since I've been on the show, a regular on the program here, that's never happened.
I don't know, man. It's like, come on, where's the immortal words of Cactus Jack, Mick Foley? Where's this testicular fortitude?
I thought you were going to say bang, bang, but all right.
No, well, I can say that, too.
Bang, bang!
Here's one for the dumbest criminal blotter. Florida linebacker arrested for barking at a police dog.
Well, now that's not entirely true. He also resisted arrest.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of the reasons why they took him in. I read that this morning, and I thought, you're kidding me. Things are getting out of hand. There's no way that we're arresting people for barking at a police dog. Every time I'll see a dog locked in a car and bark at him just because it's funny. Antonio Morrison, been arrested for the second time in 5 weeks, this time for allegedly barking at a police dog and resisting arrest, and will miss at least the first two games of the season after being suspended from the team. On Sunday, his first Morrison's defense was the dog barked first. Police responded to a suspicious incident and disturbance call at 3:43 a.m. on Sunday at a Gainesville hotel adjacent to a nightclub. There was an officer investigating the vehicle that was the subject of the call, and a group of several men were walking along a street. One of the men reportedly approached the patrol car and began barking at the police dog through an open window. The report said that that caused the dog named Bear to bark back at the man, which diverted the police officer's attention from investigating the vehicle. He identified himself. He was in front of the patrol car, and the guy tried to arrest him. I think he was trying to arrest him for interfering with police business or something, you know, one of those crimes or whatever, because obviously, getting his dog to bark in the car and diverting attention from investigating something else is obviously stepping in the way of police business.
Right.
And,
right.
So then when he tried to put the handcuffs on him, he... Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow. Now, he was already, Muschamp was trying to decide whether to suspend him as a result of a June 16th arrest for battery after he punched a nightclub bouncer because he wasn't given a discounted rate for admission. I guess he walked up to the door and he's like, hey, man, I'm a Florida football player. And they're like, we don't care, man. We sell tickets here. And so they didn't give him a discounted rate of admission, and so he punched a guy. You know, he's shaping up to be another Aaron Hernandez, one of those thug-like idiots that runs around thinking he can do whatever he wants and whatever.
Hey, well, you know, I only just got one thing about those police dogs. I only got one question about them. Hold on.
I'm holding. I'm running out of things to hold.
How much is that dog in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone.
Okay.
Wow. Hey, our boy is back in the news.
Uh-oh. What?
George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman has been in hiding since he was acquitted of the murder and the death of Trayvon Martin. Emerged to help rescue someone who was trapped in an overturned truck. This
you
is coming from Stanford police. He pulled an individual from a truck that had rolled over at the intersection of a Florida highway last week. I mean, he's out saving people. I wonder what the color of the individual he saved was. I wonder if that'll make a difference, if that will ease some of the racial tensions if this happens to be an African-American individual. I know people are really hammering down here, and, you know, whatever, man. I mean, Second Amendment, stand your ground. There's things in place to protect people like George Zimmerman, so whatever.
Really? I think he's trying too hard now. This is like the second or third thing I've heard about him since that trial's been over, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I think he's trying to put himself out there to show that he really is a good guy. In my opinion, he should just be staying hid for a while.
Now, who is this that you just put on?
I don't
Facebook.
Know. I just saw the picture and said, Clint will like that.
Clint likes that. Who is this? This is Epic Fighting Ring Card Girls. Oh, this is a site. Oh, I'll be there later. Yeah, I'll be there later.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Gotta look out for my buddy.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate it. If I don't have enough women trouble already. Man, I had to fight one off with a stick this weekend because she's absolutely crazy. I'm talking about worse than AJ Lee. I'm talking worse than anything. Even the ex-wife of mine who slashed my tires like a thief in the night. This was way worse. Way worse. And I had to say, look, man, I was being questioned. My Facebook page was being creeped constantly. And I was being questioned all the time. I'm like, man, I don't answer to anybody. My mother doesn't even talk to me like that. So I told her, I was like, you got to go, lady.
Yeah.
So I was out.
Here's my upcoming fight schedule, just to let people know what's kind of coming up around the bend. August 17th, we got striking, Muay Thai, and kickboxing at the Muskogee Civic Center in Muskogee, Oklahoma. So if you're in the Muskogee area and you want to see some good Muay Thai and kickboxing, make sure you come check that out. September 7th, High Foot Combat Sports, Mexico, Missouri. That's one of two events coming up that month. That's September 7th show. Uncivil War MMA, September 14th. That's at the O'Reilly Family Event Center, Springfield, Missouri, on the Drury University campus. So that's September 14th. Then we go back to Mexico, Missouri for their all-female show, September 21st. Then we got Striking once again, October 5th, back there in Muskogee. October 26th, Extreme Fighting Inc., Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hello, how are you? Would it be all right? Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
You're in, man. I think you just won the contest.
I was channeling ELO there for a second. I think that was ELO. December 14th. That's the big Striking event coming to Kansas City, Missouri. And I'm still going to try to pump some info about the big tournament that's going to be over there. See if my services are needed for that big event. Then we got XFI kind of trailblazing into 2014. So we're going to get on the squawk box and find out my status for that fun stuff. And that's about all I got, buddy.
Man, I've got a friend of mine who I had on the show while you were absent one of those days last week, and she wants to know how to Skype. So I think after I get off the show here, I think I'm going to teach her how to Skype. And then maybe I might teach her how to Dougie after that. Who knows?
Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to
teach
Dougie.
Teach me how to Dougie.
Hey, don't forget, join us right back here tomorrow. We're going to have our Monday Night Raw wrap-up. So make sure you join us in for that. And, of course, whatever, any other tomfoolery we can think of. So, Clint, I'm getting
Tom
out
Fullery.
Of here.
Tom
yeah,
is my favorite guy. I love Tom Fullery. Wasn't he the host of the Dating Game?
Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery. I thought it was Tom Foolery.
No. God, Clint.
Man, you got to tell some jokes. Whoa. You like my Harlem Shake I put on there?
Yeah, I like that, buddy. You are
right.
The man.
Thanks,
let's
man.
Go
appreciate
home.
It.
We're going home, boys and girls. Don't forget to join us Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. till 5:30, right here on the Greg Skrull Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. See you tomorrow. Bye.